Well, the consequences of the war in Ukraine continue to be felt well beyond the immediate conflict zone. Rising energy prices and concerns over security of energy supply are driving up fuel costs for consumers across Europe. Here, the Minister for Energy, Eamon Ryan, has told the Dáil that he will meet energy providers again and ask them to consider putting all customers on the beneficial package that new customers get. Mr. Ryan said he'd asked them to look at this measure, which has been used in the UK, and see if it might work here. Earlier, he said he'd asked the utilities regulator for more ideas to help those trying to deal with higher energy costs.
How do we do it? Well, firstly, I also met last week with CREU, the Commission for the Regulation of Utilities, and asked them to come up, and they were doing it in their own steam anyway, with further ways in which we can help protect our people. Because this is, as we all agree, an existential crisis. And I would not rule anything out and would welcome ideas or suggestions. I'd look at proposals that particularly would help those most vulnerable.
Minister Eamon Ryan speaking in the Dáil this lunchtime. Well, before we came on air, I spoke to Dr. Paul Dean, who's a research fellow at the Centre for Marine and Renewable Energy at University College Cork. How does he assess the European energy, particularly gas market at the moment?
Yeah, it's been a very fast-moving week again, Brian, in terms of gas markets right across Europe. And as you said, it started off with this spat between Europe and the Kremlin in terms of the payment for current gas contracts coming into Europe. The Kremlin wants them to be paid, or wanted them certainly to be paid, in Russian currency, which has been very, very difficult, in all fairness, for many European suppliers. The German government reacted, a number of other governments reacted, by triggering the first phase of their gas emergency plans. Now, what this means is that they weren't forecasting gas shortages, but what they were doing was sending a signal to their economy, to their industry leaders, that they were preparing for gas shortages. And then just before we came on air this afternoon, Brian, we're seeing reports again from Russian media and from German media that the Kremlin now has rolled back on that demand for the need to pay in Russian currency. Now, in many ways, what's happening is that, look, we're in Europe, we're not paying for the price of natural gas. We're very much paying the price of fear, the price of uncertainty, and the price of speculation. And in many ways, this is playing into Putin's hands. They get to sell huge volumes of gas at increased prices.
We are reminded, get most of our gas, we get all of our gas from the UK, and only a small portion of that, I think, originates in Russia. But clearly the price affects gas supplies across the board. But these concerns around security of supply, how concerning are they for a country like Ireland?
They're particularly concerning, and they're concerning for not only Ireland, but for everyone across Europe at the moment. Across Europe, there's a number of regulations and safeguards put in place for gas sharing and for gas solidarity mechanisms, or for what we call burden sharing mechanisms, if there was a gas shortages or if there was gas rationing right across Europe. Now, the challenge for Ireland is that when it comes to us, our nearest neighbour is the UK, have of course opted out of Europe and opted out of those agreements. Now, in many ways, we have previous agreements with the UK for gas sharing. If there was a shortage or if there was rationing, those agreements date back to the 90s. But they're quite vague. They lack a lot of detail. They certainly lack the specifications that European regulations have. And of course, the big concern has been triggered before. So what would happen in terms of a gas shortage in Ireland, and how we would fare with UK in terms of gas sharing, is a big uncertainty for us.
So we could be in a situation where there'd be huge pressure on the British authorities to conserve supplies and reduce what gets passed on to us.
Yes, and in many ways it could be as even more indirect from that, Brian. There might be a redirection of gas from Norway into mainland Europe instead of the UK, because Norway might be subject to some of these European gas cooperation mechanisms, and of course that would have an indirect impact for us here in Ireland. Now, on the upside, we're facing into spring, into summer, we're coming out of the heating season, so any gas rationing across the UK and consequently for Ireland would be relatively benign at the moment. The challenges would happen, of course, more in the winter months, and also, of course, depending on the severity of any gas rationing that would happen.
But what about the alternatives when we're building greater wind capacity? But that's presumably some years down the road. There's talk and controversy about the natural gas terminal, a storage terminal. But again, that's something that, even if it was to go ahead, is some years away.
Yeah, the future is very clear. The future is quite clear. We need to move away from fossil fuels, but the problem is the present. And the problem is particularly over the next number of years. And as you said, we do need to look at diversification of gas options coming into Ireland. That means looking at a lot of politically unattractive ideas, such as looking at liquefied natural gas, such as looking at gas storage, or even looking at reopening indigenous gas exploration here in Ireland. We do need to look at those options now at the moment. The war has changed the world of energy in Ireland. Ireland's energy policy needs to adapt accordingly. But as you said, all those options are really 2 to 3 years away. And in the short term, what the Irish government needs to be doing is really focusing on energy conservation, focusing on public awareness, getting people to reduce our energy consumption as much as we can. It won't shield us completely from any gas rationing if it does happen, but it will reduce our exposure if it does.
And what about the Money Point coal-fired power station? It's scheduled to be decommissioned in a number of years. Might that have to be looked at again?
Yeah, and what we're seeing in the last year or two really was a significant increase in generation from Money Point. And unfortunately, with increased generation from Money Point comes increased emissions. The electricity sector emissions are up this year compared to last year, primarily due to Money Point. And really what the government needs to do is get to grips with and understanding what low carbon sources can we accelerate, what can we bring onto the market much quicker. But that takes time. And in the meantime, we do really need to come back to saving energy rather than trying to produce more in the short term.
Paul Dean of UCC speaking to us earlier.